What is up, you guys? Welcome to the Dear Universe, It's Me podcast. You are listening to episode 8, episode 8. I can't believe we are almost to double digits, y'all, and I've clearly had way too much coffee today. I'm living for this moment. Thank you so much for intentionally pressing play on today's episode. If my voice does not sound familiar to you, welcome to the podcast. I am so stoked to have you here. If my voice does sound familiar to you, thank you for being a returning listener and being an OG. I appreciate you so much. And you guys know the drill. If you like what you hear, hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening on. That way you will never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a rating or a review. It helps me get to know any feedback, and it's also a good way to ensure that this podcast gets in front of more people and we can heal the world together, right? That's the idea. Also, if you want to give me direct feedback, slide into my DMs on Instagram. My tag is in the description of every episode on the podcast. And today, we are talking about past lives. Woo! So I've had a little bit of introduction to this topic, but only over the last 2 or 3 months. So it's come up in my life coach sessions, my Akashic records and past lives. I've had karmic energy come up in tarot readings associated with potential past lives. I've been told that I'm a very old soul and I've lived thousands and thousands of lives, and it's so fascinating to me. And I realized the other day I've been blasting this new song by Selena Gomez. It's called Past Life. It's her and Trevor Daniel. And one of the lyrics is, last night was the last night in my past life. And I'm just blasting it, singing it in the car, singing it to my cat. And then I'm like, oh shoot, they're talking about past lives. Of course, in a very modern way, it's a pop song, but it was interesting to me because then I connected the two. I was like, oh my gosh, they're talking about what I'm going to be interviewing this amazing woman on my podcast. So past lives is much more than what we hear in a pop song, obviously. But I want to introduce our amazing guest. So today I interviewed Lisa Peterson. She is amazing. She does so many things. She's an author. She wrote the book. It's called Mindful Millionaire. She also has not one, but two podcasts called The Art of Abundance and then the Mindful Millionaire podcast, because being a millionaire is a mindset. Fun fact. Go check it out. You can learn more about her at wealthclinic.com. Everything is linked below. That is her website. Her specialty is really helping men and women overcome a cycle of scarcity and uncertainty so that they can heal their self-worth and rebuild their confidence. And we talk a lot about that in today's episode as well. She believes in order to embody confidence, you must heal your heart. I totally agree, and become aware of your roadblocks so that your relationship with yourself can flourish. That's huge, and that's really what we talk about on the pod, is your relationship with yourself. That is how I define modern spirituality in a lot of ways, or your connection to the universe. So what is past life regression? I will let Lisa explain it in the podcast. It's really just a brief description before we get into it. It's a method that uses hypnosis to recover what practitioners believe are memories of past lives or incarnations. Just to give you some background. So it's something you access through hypnosis. So fascinating. I did not ask any Instagram questions to Lisa today because, you guys, I didn't even know what this topic was. This is like a blank slate for me. I learned so much, and I hope that you do too. And before we breathe, before we get into the episode, I want to read a quote from her Instagram. You can also follow her at Lisa Peterson on Instagram, but she said, and this is a quote by Van Jones, "It's in that convergence of spiritual people becoming active and active people becoming spiritual that the hope of humanity now rests." Mic drop. It's amazing. So I really liked everything that she said. I was empowered by this entire conversation, and I really want to know what you guys think. So listen to the episode, relax, let's breathe, and then tell me your feedback. So let's get into a little bit of breath before we jump into today's episode. That was a very deep breath I've been wanting to take ever since I started talking. So do the same. Start to relax. I'm sitting on my ground, my floor. So find your sit bones if you are joining me on the floor, if you're on a couch. Really relax, as always. Roll your shoulders up and down a few times. And the focus of today's breath is giving yourself permission to feel. So I want you to notice, as you're consciously breathing, where you're holding tension. Maybe today breathing feels a little bit harder because you have a lot of tension and a lot of stress. So notice where you're holding that and know that whatever you are feeling right now is okay. Come at your current state of being without judgment. There is no good, no bad, no blame. Just be present. We talk about that in the episode as well. Whatever space you find yourself in, it is okay. So give yourself permission to feel, what does that look like? What does that feel like when you do that without judgment? So purposefully exhale all of the air out of your lungs. And then take a big inhale through your nose. Again, feel your body expand, but notice and give yourself permission to notice where you're holding tension today. For me, I'm holding a lot of tension in my shoulders, lots of stress. Hold this breath at the top and then exhale through your nose. And carry this breath with you throughout your day. Even if you're listening at nighttime and you're about to go to bed, carry this breath with you as you drift off into your sleep state. And again, give yourself permission, as always, to feel how you feel, okay? I am so excited. Let's jump into today's episode. I'm way too excited. Talking about past lives. I hope you enjoy this as much as I enjoy talking about it. It really enlightened me and changed my thinking, so let's jump into it. Let's just go ahead and jump in. So I've actually never met you in person. This is my first time kind of e-meeting you, electronically meeting you. So thank you so much for coming on. And I just want to hear from you who you are, why you are interested in spirituality, kind of how you got started into your holistic and modern spirituality lifestyle. And I'll just tee it off to you to start.
Awesome. Yeah, so Lisa Peterson from, I was born in Oakland, California, and had eventually, not right away, but by the early 70s, my parents became hippies in the Bay Area. And so I think that's a great place just to mention because it has a lot to do with my own journey. And my parents both came from kind of tough backgrounds in different ways. My dad was more middle class. My mom literally would tell me stories of stealing food at the grocery store because she just knew what it was like to not have enough to eat. And that would be one way to get food. So she had a lot of scarcity. And so I grew up in a situation where my parents were not well educated, had come from a lot of trauma. We're hippies. My dad got into dealing drugs when I was growing up, and it's a lot of trauma and a lot of upsets. And I made the decision early in life when they struggled with money so much that I was like, I knew even at 7 and 8, my parents weren't good with money, but I was going to figure it out. And so I took it on as a lifelong passion, started working when I was 8, kind of making flyers up and doing any job, so door-to-door sales, I did it all before.
Wow, lemonade stands.
Yeah. Everything. Money was like, yes, what can I do? And I lied about getting a credit card at JCPenney's when I was 12, and the lady thought that I was older. And at that time, I had been working for my parents, and it cracks me up because I was smart enough to know that if I put my parents on the verification of employment, that probably wouldn't look good. So I put her partner, my mom's partner, down on the application at like 12, and I got approved for a JCPenney credit card, and that started my credit.
At 12? Wow. See, that's so smart. I didn't have any financial maturity until I was at least 18, and it was my parents saying, hey, this is how a credit card works. This is, you know, how checking account works, but wow, good on you. It's funny how our past shapes us to be certain ways about, you know, like money, for example.
Yeah, it is super weird. And, you know, I got a job after that at 14 at McDonald's. And then I was like a manager by the time I was 16. And then I was like, I'm ready for bigger things. And I think I just always felt like I know how to work really hard and really smart. And I think that I'm not the smartest person in the traditional sense. Like, I struggled in school. I'm not a great abstract thinker. And so that really didn't fit great into the school system, but I was so tenacious and so hardworking that I figured out how to go to college. I figured out how to get my MBA. I figured out how to get jobs that really were totally out of my league. And I just never let it stop me. And same thing goes, by the time I was in my mid-20s, I was married to my college sweetheart, or we were getting married, and I became like, well, why not become millionaires? And I mean, we had a net worth of about $10,000, you know, but he's like, whatever. It wasn't important to him, but it was to me. And so I pretty much made that a decision and started working towards it. And 10 years later, we were able to achieve that goal of like self-made millionaires. But the spirituality was not something important to me. My parents had dabbled in TM when I was growing up, and you know, we'd go and do these retreats, but most of it was really drug related, not a way that I don't think about retreats and drugs nowadays.
I know, I think about Sedona. Isn't that so funny?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people do, right? Ayahuasca, and like, oh, there is sure. That still that culture, but that's not been my path. Like, I think I got it out of my system from a young age. But in 1999, my dad was estranged from the rest of the family. So my brother, my grandmother, his mom, my mom, and me, and he was brutally murdered. And when that happened, and it was like his ex-girlfriend and her boyfriend, and they had been kind of fighting through these letters, and they got really upset at him, and they bought a gun, and kind of, it was just a brutal situation. And that was the turning point. So all of a sudden, I was not at the time believing in God, and I didn't really know where to go. And so I ended up in San Francisco. I was working in San Francisco for Wells Fargo at the time. And I went to the bookstore and I bought all these books, and they all had the word like death and dying, or like I was just completely obsessed with death. And that began a journey 21 years ago that continues to this day. So I really came from this very desperate place of not really understanding what life was about, realizing I was really, really depressed and unhappy, even though I was great at covering it up. And I had mm-hmm. been for much of my life. Mm-hmm. And so that began the journey. But what was interesting is I found myself with Buddhism, and I ended up teaching Buddhism and for many, many years. So for 11 years, I studied. And I don't just put my toe in something. Like, I put the whole body in the swimming pool. You know, I'm underwater. There's no way out. Mm-hmm. My family's afraid that I'm going to become a nun and shave my head and never come back when I would go off on retreats. Like, that was the way I approached that 11 years. And it was amazing, and I learned a ton, and Buddhist philosophy is really beautiful and helpful. But even that came a moment in time about 10 years ago where I was like, I'm not supposed to do this anymore. And I embarked on a journey thinking that there were things that I was seeing in the organization that I studied with that were very hypocritical and not in alignment with the teachings. And I was like, well, is there anywhere? Because this is, I think, why I had not gone the Christian path. And I was like, dang, you know, where is it? Where is something that I can fully trust and not feel like it's controlling me? And I just uncovered so many different beautiful teachings, ultimately leading us to move to Sedona in 2015. But even metaphysical stuff, it's so funny because there's a lot of ideas of what spirituality is. And mm-hmm. as long as the ego identification is trying to make sense of what it is, there's often flaws in the understanding and interpretation of what it really is. So mm-hmm. I think I'm really good. And this is part of, you know, eventually in 2014, I left my financial career and started teaching and coaching. And what I found is I'm really good at poking holes in assumptions and the way that we think about things without knowing that there's actually another way to be. And I did that same thing with religion. And I wanted to find the greatest teachings, but I wanted to drop away all the dogma and feel comfortable as a woman, which is also another thing where
that's a big piece. Yeah,
women aren't, they're just not often seen as leaders of spiritual thought. And often if you do see them, they've got a lineage and they had to like toe the line and fall into the whole trap that I was trying to avoid. And I think it's why now, you know, I don't follow one teacher. There have been a few women that have made a huge impact, still living, but, you know, one of them is in her late 90s and realizing that there is another way of, you know, looking at spiritual teachings that are just really deep. And ultimately, my journey has, I know that in this life, even if it's at the last breath that I take, I'm in this life. This is the last one. The journey to know self is very, very clear to me that that's what I am here to experience. And that's why I've had just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, because they woke me up again and again.
That was the biggest thing. The word trauma kept coming to my mind. You've experienced a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think we hold trauma in places that we can't access unless we are doing things like meditation or, you know, I sometimes will go to Sedona by myself to experience something pure where it's just me and I can maybe access thoughts or pain that I can't access in my everyday life because of stress or whatever it might be. But do you, so you said something about this being your last life. And I want to hear more about that, because one thing I was really interested to ask you about was past lives and if that's the same thing as Akashic records. And, you know, I've been told I'm an old soul and I've lived many lives. Is it your view, because of what you've experienced in your life and your trauma, that this is your last one? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there to unpack, and I don't study the Akashic records, although I'm very familiar with the idea, and I've had people come to me and do readings where they go into what I'll describe as like the fifth dimension of reality, where all truth resides. And I do past life regression hypnosis, and what I've seen, and I've done over 100 of them, and I've probably done maybe 20 or 30 where someone else was guiding me through the process. And in the course of seeing all those past lives, I don't know if it's as literal as I think the human mind wants to make it. But what I do know is that the stories of the past are accessible to us. And whether it's the same incarnation over and over again, it is easy to have that be like a very egoic identification of who we are now and like how we're looking at it from the past. So I just have to preface everything, because we don't fully know that until I think we've crossed over into this state of no self. And then we're just like, we're present to all, and that's all that really matters. So the reason I think that I'm here in living at such intensity in this form is that enables me to be like what you could call of a foe destroyer. In Buddhism, it's called a foe destroyer. Like, you don't care what the risks are. Your life is really like, it's not like you're going to do stupid things, but every single time I meet my match, I know that that's all it is, and that this is what I'm supposed to be looking at and not avoiding. So no more is there any avoidance whatsoever. Now, I can be consciously aware of that and still be unconscious to things. Of course, that happens. That's part of that whole process of waking up. But when I'm conscious of something going on, I'm making very conscious decisions. This is what I want to look at. And I'm not going to kind of, I mean, people say spiritual bypass or whatever, like I'm not going to bypass it. That is, I think, when we reach a very different level in life where you just know that the whole point is to do this work and then also be there showing other people, not telling them, showing other people what that looks like.
That's a big distinction. And just the talk about ego is something. So I always say jokingly, ego is not your amigo. And I think you need a certain amount of ego to exist in the world. But the older I get and the more I walk my path and my spiritual awakening, is it's kind of how it feels a little bit walking towards light. It's about losing that ego a little bit and realizing what is my purpose here. And that's why just the idea of past lives is so interesting, because it affects the life we're living now. I mean, even things we experience in this life, is it a repercussion from a past life? I remember a tarot reading I had, the reader told me, maybe you experienced this because it was karmic, because in a past life that you did something and this is your karma. So I'm wondering, because I think a lot of people listening are on the same playing field as me and are very new to all of these spiritual ideas and concepts and are trying to get deeper connected to who they are, their higher self or their true self. What is the concept of a past life? Because it can seem a little bit out there if you're newer to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think even talking about it in the context of karma, so make sure I come back and connect that if I forget. But the past life and the way I see it is literally like movies that are allowing us to notice the patterns that are going on in this lifetime so that we can consciously shift, which most of the time, the most healing, and there's multiple ways that people can do past life experiences. You can have someone else do the work for you, like, oh, here's what it looked like, and they narrate it. I've never really been drawn to that. I don't actually fully understand it. I think that's more of an entertainment thing. What I do is very similar to the work that I do, even in conscious awareness outside of hypnosis, which is, where are those places where we're forsaking ourselves or we're forsaking someone else? And as soon as we can find those places, we are actively forgiving ourselves and we are forgiving others. And that clears the, you know, karma, if you will, that clears the slate when it's done completely. Now, you can't do forgiveness practice at the level that I am talking about unless you've done a lot of work. Like, it is not easy, because I work with people and I see that, like, there is this absolute humility and understanding that you are literally holding on to something that is poison inside of you. And as long as you think it's someone else or you, you can't release it. So unconditional love and acceptance is a process that may take, I mean, for me,
it's so hard,
10 years to learn. And I had to lose both my parents, my grandmother, close friends. I had so many people die. And in the course of death, which is just one of the most powerful teachings, is we see how stupid and silly it is, because when someone's gone and we're holding on to resentment for them, or they're dying and we're thinking, well, they shouldn't have spilled milk, you know, or broke that glass in front of me at 3, messed me up, you know, and now I can't hold space. It's like, you have to look at that whole situation with a completely different standpoint, which is, oh my gosh, like, my mom was doing the best that she possibly could. There is no judgment to her behavior, even really bad things. Like, this is where a lot of people get really messed up. They're like, and this is also where I have appreciated past life regression, but things like sexual abuse and other stuff, like, literally, when we can look in this side, the mind of someone who does something that horrifying, there is like a 90% chance, even in this life, they had the similar thing done to them. That's
wow.
In process.
Ooh, that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah. And I see it because I work with people. Mm-hmm. I know, like, they tell me the things that have happened to them. People are very open with me about things that they have done to other people and done to themselves or had done. And, you know, that movie, I don't know if you saw it, Lion. Oh, it was just these movies, especially in India, because there's so much corruption. But Lion was like, these kids were in orphanages and they were being taken out of the orphanages and basically raped and then brought back the next day. And these kids were so messed up. And I couldn't sleep after watching this movie for days. And finally, like, I had this sort of out of body, like, spiritual awakening where it was like the guidance came and it was like, these people are literally being born again. So they're the oppressor. They're born as the baby who ultimately finds its, you know, way into the orphanage. And it's this horrible, vicious cycle. Mm. And in that moment, I was like, oh, there it is. Now, this isn't the thing that you go into with this is you literally realize there is no one to blame. It's a horrible cycle. And so when we...
That's huge.
Yeah, totally, totally. Like,
because we're always just looking for someone to blame. And even like something as small as my divorce, I'm in this healing phase of my life trying to release it and forgive. But I'm holding myself. I'm in my own way. I'm literally in my own way. That's what it is.
We all do it. I mean, I did it for a really long time. And, you know, I think that when, like, nothing, like, it's not that because you see it, you don't feel. Like, I had something happen with my brother recently and I was inside of it. But because I was so present to my feelings of, like, you know, there are some things here that aren't working for me and I'm standing my ground and I'm holding my space. But I wasn't going to push it away. I was going to be present to him and say, you know, here's what's going on. And I can't meet you where you're asking me to meet you. Because unfortunately, and I knew this because I came from the same place, we have been taught to blame other people for our pain. And you are blaming me for your pain. And I get it. I understand it. But I can't communicate with you as long as you're doing that because I know it's not true. And I don't blame you for my pain, period. So it's like, it still hurts. It's not that I don't feel. It's that I'm willing to be in these really uncomfortable situations and sit with them. And I don't know where they're going. I mean, my brother may say, I never want to speak to you again. And I would respect that. But I think the difference of living this way is that you refuse to let anyone be outside of your heart, no matter what.
Whoa. By accessing past life hypnosis, you are accessing parts of your brain that allow you to not blame and not even maybe forgive, but just know that, lose the sense of self. Know that we're all in a pattern and that's what it is. And so there's nothing, you're not giving anyone negative power or negative energy over a situation that hurt you. You're just accepting it, right?
Totally, totally. There's one story coming up. I was having trouble with, when you do what I've done this past 6 years, kind of go from inside of a corporation and then come out and be like, here I am, world. And you've never really developed this strong sense of like who you are especially in a work setting, which was new for me.
Very hard.
Yeah, really hard. And so I think two or three years into it, well, I guess it must have been more like 2 years ago. So like 4 years into it, I was bumping up as I was trying to write my book. I was bumping up of this voice that had been there since my whole entire life. And I knew it went deeper than anything that had happened in this life, but it was this voice that said, you know, your truth is going to get you in trouble. Like, you will die. When you speak your truth, it felt like death. So I couldn't do it on a regular basis. Like it took a lot of safety and a lot of situations. But if I was in a situation where I didn't feel accepted, then I couldn't express my thoughts or my truth. So I went to the gal who taught me how to do past life regression. And I said, I need help, you know? And so we went in, and the story that came was fascinating. And I'll try to summarize, but we went back in time, which you do, like 1,000, 2,000 years, long time. And it was in the area of like Greece or Rome, you know, those sorts of times.
And when you say went in, you mean the setting, you were in a meditative state and she's putting you under hypnosis to access.
Yep. And she's, and I knew the belief, like what happens after you do this work for a while, most people, again, you know, 20 years of meditation, like I have incredible mental power. So I'm like, this is the belief. I want to see where it came from. Hypnosis in the beginning is not like this. So just everybody know that it's not quite like this. Some people have these powers, but not normal. So I show up, you open your eyes, and the story begins to unfold just like a movie. So you're kind of like getting the bits and pieces. But what ended up happening is I come in at a scene where my father is dying, and he's like a king with a lot of responsibility, and I'm next in line to take over. So I take over his responsibilities. But at the time, I was actually very similar to the person I am today, which is like peace, love, and joy. Like, don't ask Lisa to be the authoritarian in the room, just not that person. So I was very similar in this, I was a man and I was in charge. And so I was trying to change things around my heart and it wasn't going well. In fact, the whole state of affairs was falling apart. And my younger brother was more like my father. And at some point, my younger brother knew that I was going to destroy everything for everyone because I couldn't be an authoritarian. I couldn't set the tone that needed to be set and the ruling of like an iron fist. And he killed me. And he like stabbed me. And like, that was part of this, you know, experience. And when I was dying, I saw that the belief system that I had, that I couldn't speak my truth and I would be killed, had been played out in this whole entire story. And I have never had that fear, never had that belief. It is, in fact, I couldn't even remember what it was until just now because it's gone completely. And that is the healing power of witnessing something like that and being like, of course it makes sense. And you've been carrying this belief system for thousands of years in various incarnations, however, you know, we want to think of it.
So how does that impact your life now? And how does that manifest in you feeling connected to who you are? And I, you know, I've mentioned true self before. I saw it on your website and I was like, yeah, that's a great way to put it. How has that impacted your life at all? And experiencing the death of family members in a very traumatic way, were you able to find healing through that?
Yeah, I've only done the past life for about 3 or 4 years. I started learning how to do it and got certified. And so all the tragedies that I experienced were before that. But what I can say is I would not have been able to write my book at the level that I've written it if I had not gone through that. Because even now, although it's not like we're getting a lot of haters, but like I can see how the book can be very triggering for people who have not looked inside. It just brings all this stuff up. And even for people who have done a lot of work, you know, they're like, I have to sit with this for days and days and days because it brings so much up for me. And if I was afraid of being killed, even subconsciously, because mm-hmm. I told people things, you know, in a book that's going around the world, you know, like, I don't know if I could have slept at night.
Do you think that certain dreams we have can be images being flashed from our past life?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's all available to us. You know, that's why it's so easy once you learn the ability to be hypnotized it's just amazing because there's so much there. So yeah.
It's so fascinating. And I had my Akashic records read through meditation. I think they were read. I have an intuitive life coach. And so she put me into this meditative state to access my records and essentially said that the trauma I've experienced in this life is also something I've experienced in my past life. And so I'm not recognizing it yet as a pattern. And so that's why I fell into it. So it was just really, really interesting because I had never thought or heard about past lives up until that point. It hadn't even crossed my mind. So hearing past life hypnosis is so fascinating to me. And to people listening, wondering, you know, you have to believe in reincarnation to believe that you can access past lives. I suppose that's the first part, right?
I don't think so. I think that if you were to think of it like cosmic soup, where it's energy and the energy is available to you and the energy will come in a form of healing, I don't actually think you have to believe in it working out in the, like, in some way. In fact, the more you go into the studies of different writers about past life, like, it's, everybody has different ideas of what that exactly means. So there's a good chance that I don't have it right and you don't have it right. Like, so I don't think that's the most important. I think the most important is like when you reach a level of, I just have to heal and I'm not going to leave any stone unturned. You know, you may find your way to something like this and then just be open to what comes through. But after you do it for a while, you're like, wow, it's just like these movies are just playing. Like, okay, let's go to another place. Movies. Like, where in the heck, or fiction in general, like, where in the heck are those coming from?
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
We're literally making them up. So what if the subconscious is making up the story so that you can have a healing?
That's so crazy. This whole concept is so interesting. I mean, there has been weird dreams I've had, or just feelings I've had, or it's almost like I'm experiencing a memory that doesn't feel like it's my own memory. And it's a reminder that, like, girl, you got work. You have work to do. There's something there, that there's a message being sent to you that you got to tap into, you know, because that's my biggest thing right now is I want to heal, because I believe that doors are closed for me because I haven't fully healed yet. But what does healing look like? How do I heal from this trauma in this lifetime and then allow myself to be open to things like finding love one day? You know, it's so complex, but I think this topic is fascinating.
I also think that there is a great deal of value to the slow and steady traditional path. Like, what we're doing with some of the self-help stuff these days is we can easily push ourselves faster than we really need to go. And it's taking the Western culture of, you know, me, 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 faster, 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 I should be over this, which all stems from, at the end of the day, a sense of not enoughness. Like, we got to be careful, because I think that after this 21 years, I would say that the reason I can help people so much is not because of what I've learned over the past 5 or 6 years. It was, you know, months and months of silent meditation, counting mantras, you know, clearing things out in a very slow, holistic way that set a foundation for me that I think when we try to rush it and we try to just go the fast path, we can miss a lot of really important stuff that only comes from life experience.
Yeah. Western culture pushes doing this quick, you know, get it done, just deal with it. And unfortunately, with social media and other triggers that we have, it's how things go, right? But
yeah,
my eyes have been opened up so much. I was already excited to talk to you because I have most of the topics I talk about on my podcast, I know a little bit about, or I'm already passionate about. Like last week we did a tarot episode and I love tarot. And so this is completely new to me and I'm completely open to it. And I want to thank you for coming on. Are you in Arizona, by the way? I meant to ask you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I am. Mm-hmm.
It's been hot here. I don't know where you are, but I'm hoping it cools down soon. But I wanted to ask you, where can people find you? Because you are sharing your gifts with the world. And I want people to be able to check out your podcasts or website. So where can people find you?
Thank you. So the Mindful Millionaire, or I should say Know That, just mindfulmillionairebook.com is a great way to learn and watch a video that we created about the book and what's going on there. And my website, wealthclinic.com, is also a great resource where you can find my two podcasts and blog posts and other good things.
Yes. And I will link everything in the episode description and put it on my social media so people know where to find you. Thank you for holding space for this conversation and for being vulnerable. I'm amazed by your strength and your power with everything you've experienced. I think a lot of people experience similar things, and you can choose to better yourself and to heal from it and to go one way, or you can choose to go on another path, which unfortunately a lot of people do. So I feel inspired by this conversation, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we could be here together and share it with your listeners.
Thanks, you guys. Hey, you guys, it is me by myself here in the flesh. I just wanted to make sure to wrap up this episode the way that we wrap up every episode here on the pod. The divine light within me sees, honors, loves, and cherishes the beautiful, bright, divine light that is within each and every one of you, because whether you know it or not, it is shining so bright and the world needs more of your light. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. I hope your mind was equally as blown as mine. Check out the description of this episode. You can follow Lisa on Instagram. You can check out her two podcasts and her book and her website, thewealthclinic.com. Slide into my DMs with any feedback or any questions that you have. Maybe you don't believe in past lives. Maybe this episode changed your mind. Let me know what you think. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice when it comes to podcasts, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye.